Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today, I'm going to be having a guest on, and we are going to talk about fall cooking, cozy fall cooking. It is that time of year. I'm sorry. I have someone outside putting in sidewalks, and so bad timing, but I wasn't going to cancel on my guest. So without further ado, let's join Annette from Azure Farm, the Instagram, azurefarmlife.com. She also has a podcast.
My name is Lisa, mom of six and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
Well, thanks for joining me. And
yeah, thank you.
I got to looking at your book that you just launched.
Yeah.
And thinking about, you know, this time of year, people love to hear about fall cooking. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I thought I'd have you on to talk about that.
Yeah.
You can start by telling us a little bit about your Instagram, your blog, whatever you want to talk about. Podcast.
Sure. I know, right? Oh, I don't know. I'll
say all the places.
Yeah. Well, I'm Annette and I live in Georgia in a small little town, outside of Atlanta. And we moved here about 5 years ago and kind of wanted to, just change our lifestyle, change what we were doing and kind of slow things down a bit. It's not like, it's definitely not slow living to where it's less busy, but just
no,
focus on different things. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So get into just more, you know, homemaking and gardening and doing those things. And so I started a Instagram account just to kind of document that, not really wanting for it to really be anything. And then it kind of grew. And then I thought, well, you know, if I can inspire other people to maybe do the same, then awesome. You know,
yeah.
So I've done that. I started blogging and, then my husband and I do a podcast, which is fun because he's, you know, busy and doing his work during the week, but he's obviously a big part of what I do every day. And so with the podcast, we kind of get to share a little more of what goes on and, you know, just life stories and things, which is fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just busy. It's a good busy and, summer slowing down a little, which is nice because summer is always so busy.
Right, with your garden
here, with everything. Yeah. So yeah, getting ready for fall. I love fall. It's my favorite. I might be biased. I don't know why, but I just love fall. So I'm excited for cooler weather. And
so we're moving into the months where it's harder and harder to incorporate fresh things. It's really easy right now, obviously, but it's going to be harder. And I know that is what you focus a lot on your blog and your book is incorporating fresh things. So I don't know. Do you have any tips during fall to incorporate
so
that?
I think, I think it depends obviously where you live, and what you do. So if you garden to any extent, whether you do like a big garden or just something small, I feel like there's a few things that you can grow pretty easily that work now as you get into more like cozy. I mean, I think more of like, I don't know if you do, I'm sure you do this for the family because you have a large family, but just things like soups and broths, just things that are easy that you can like freeze and have on hand if you need. And so like for me, like spinach is a big thing because spinach grows pretty quickly in less like, you know, six, eight weeks, you can have spinach, whether you grow it in a big garden or you grow it inside, you can grow it inside your house near a window.
Okay.
And so I feel like to me, that's one that's really versatile, you know, cause it's like for soups and things like fresh spinach is really good and it's so healthy.
Right.
You can just throw it in. You know,
you can probably grow spinach through, I don't know when your first frost is.
Yeah. It's mid November. So it's not like, we still will get a frost, but again, you can grow it inside and it will grow because you don't need like tons, you know, you can just get like a long, like one of those long pots, and just put it by a windowsill and you can plant like a little strip every few weeks so that you can like, kind of like succession plant where it's like when you use one, the other one's growing. And so to me, spinach is like a must have around here. It's like, you could do soups, you could do salad, you could do like, you know, pizza or breads and, you know, with spinach, you know, on top, you can do spinach pesto, which is great too. Pasta. I mean, I think pasta, when I think more cold weather, like I want like a nice warm, you know, delicious pasta with something fresh. So that, and then like herbs to me are like a big thing. The herbs are like, they make anything better, you know, like a fresh herb.
And so here, parsley lasts a really long time. Sometimes it even just comes right back year after year.
Well, we had some that didn't, it didn't die.
It never did die. Yeah.
No, it lived through winter. It was there.
Ours almost would. So I can imagine where you live. Of course, now they're going to bring out this massive machinery. I was telling Annette earlier that we're getting sidewalks. And so they're right out here. And I tried to get as far away as possible, but it's just not going to.
It's okay. I can hear you. I hear you good. It's okay.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
Do you do that with spinach? Do you grow just like a little bit inside?
Yeah, you can grow. We have a greenhouse.
So
for us, it works well there. But, you know, it's the same idea, meaning it's, you know, somewhere that gets a lot of light, that stays warm, that doesn't get, you know, cold, that the frost can't get. So it would be the same as if you grew it. And we do a lot of that through winter. And then kale. I don't know if you like, kale's a big thing too, like when you're doing fall and cooking for fall. You know, in the South, we do like kale salad, and then you can get into your greens, like collard greens and that kind of thing is something we do a lot down here.
And you just add those to soups as well too, like to add something
a
little bit green.
I think my all-time favorite, I don't know, vegetable for fall is probably cabbage though.
Okay.
Cabbage is like, I don't know. It's so versatile, I think.
What all do you use it in?
So cabbage to me, like I'll make, one of my favorite dishes to make is cabbage pasta. Have you ever had cabbage on pasta?
No, I have not.
So it's so good and it's pretty easy. So you take the cabbage and you, you know, cut it up super thin and you put it, I like to use a cast iron skillet. So you put it in there with some oil. And you put a like good amount of salt and I put some maple syrup and for it and just let it kind of, you know, cabbage is one of those that you have a ton and then it'll
cook
down. So you cook it down and then you kind of let it, it'll caramelize a little bit because of like the maple syrup and then with the salt and it has just like a really good, it totally changes the flavor and it's just this warm, like good flavor. And so then you'll make like a regular pasta with, I do a tomato sauce base and then you'll eat it with the cabbage. So we are plant-based, so we don't eat meat, but you could add like, you know, you could add a meat sauce, but the cabbage is like your vegetable on top. So instead of it being like just a regular, I don't know, pasta with tomatoes or your traditional other vegetables, it's cabbage, which I am, is like a European kind of thing in certain places, I guess. And I always thought it sounded so strange till I tried it. And then I was like, this is good. And my husband's kind of picky on some stuff. And he was like, what, how does cabbage on pasta? But it's, it does taste really good. So I love that. To me, that's like, I have that in the cookbook. Cause it's like a very easy to make fall thing. And, you know, cabbage is always abundant a lot of times and easy to find, you know, even if you don't grow food, cabbage is easy to find, I think. Most places, you know, especially now this time of year. So cabbage is the favorite.
No noodles. You're using the cabbage as the noodle.
No, I use, I still use a noodle. I just put the cabbage on top.
Gotcha.
It's like, I'll do I'll just do like a regular spaghetti noodle. And yeah, you still do the noodle with like a sauce, but the real like flavor and extra would be like a big heaping plop of cabbage.
Right.
But it's just caramelized. Like, you know, onions, like when you just like,
yeah,
when they get like really, they just get that extra flavor. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that.
Well, and that's a good idea because cabbage is one of those vegetables. I feel like people buy carrots and celery and onions and tomato or potatoes, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
But cabbage, you know, you think other than sauerkraut,
right?
You know, how am I going to incorporate this in large quantities into anything?
Yeah.
I have a sausage and sauerkraut, it's a sausage and sauerkraut soup on the blog. So that's putting cabbage like in the soup, but I had never thought about caramelizing it. I don't know if I've ever tried it caramelized at all.
Yeah. Just so you know, you cook it down for a good, I mean, it takes a good 20, 25 minutes, but by the time your pasta is cooking and you're doing whatever else, it's ready, you know, it's just there. Yeah. I use it in soups a lot too. And then I do a lot of cabbage raw, like in a salad, like if you slice it super, super thin, and you know, you remove kind of that middle core part. That's the harder part. You know, that you wouldn't maybe like to chew on as much, but the rest of it is super thin. And then I do like a good amount of olive oil and just really like mix it in, you know, you kind of massage it into
the cabbage. That's what I do with sauerkraut, you know, like massage it in.
Same idea with salt, but it's fresh. Like you don't let it sit. And then, with lemon juice. So it's the same idea as a sauerkraut, but you don't let it, you know, you just eat it fresh. And I love that too. It's just a good fresh salad, you know,
right, to pair with any like fall
with whatever you're doing.
How about people always ask me about my kids and if they eat what I cook. I forget, how old is your daughter?
She's two, and I don't know if you hear my donkeys. I could hear my donkeys.
Okay. I don't hear them, but
she's 2 and 4 months, so so she, you know, I've tried for me to have her eat whatever we're eating, as much as possible. So, you know, for her, obviously if we're doing like a pasta type dish, she likes that. She does like soups, you know, and I think for kids, it's more so just to try to not complicate it, I think, because sometimes I think if it looks like it's too much mixed together or whatnot, that's at least for me, that's what she doesn't like. Do you know what I mean? So if it's like, if I'm making something and maybe it's like a lot of different ingredients, I might do like a little more simple idea of it for her. Yeah. Or when I serve it. So she doesn't like see it like this big, you know, mixture of stuff.
Yeah.
She can see what she's eating and then she can, So I don't know. Kids are funny. She's going through phase now. She usually eats like a lot and then, you know, they go, I'm sure, you know.
I feel like I had all of my kids around 2 or 3 go through this phase where you don't even know how they're alive because they don't eat hardly anything.
I feel like she's hitting that now. So
they come out of it.
Everyone tells me that. So I'm like, okay, well, she'll be,
this is just the thing. I don't know. I don't know fine. How they make it, but they do.
Yeah. She'll be fine, I guess, you know, but it's just funny. Oh,
so do you do a lot of preserving and canning and preparing for the winter and fall seasons?
I try. Mostly what we do a lot of is like I'll can a good amount of our tomatoes, which I'm finishing up now. And I think that's one of the easiest because I'll just do like a plain tomato, like where I just barely cooked them, blended them, and then canned them. And then I can later on, you know, decide what I'm going to use it for, season it later. And so that is nice because when it's definitely winter, you know, and there's not a lot of, you know, things, it's so nice to have something, you know, that was fresh and that has, you know, all the nutrients and stuff.
Yeah.
So canning things like that is big. Green beans, you know, those kind of things. I'm trying to get a little more into, you know, planning when we plant our garden and really taking notes of quantities and how much we use and how much we have to grow. Cause that's kind of hard. It's hard to know, you know, you don't know that right away or how much you're going to eat, but like onions, yeah. You know, like we have onions now, I'll pull onions, garlic, tomatoes. I freeze a lot of peppers and those kind of things. Cause those are easy. Yeah. Like if you have peppers now, you can easily chop them up and just freeze them. And then,
right.
You know, it's so easy to just get out a little bag and toss it into whatever you're making and you have peppers. So that helps, I think.
Yeah.
Especially when you're prepping or planning.
People even to like right now, even if you didn't grow a garden, go to the farmer's market and stock up on that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. We don't have, there's stuff that we don't grow everything. So yeah, just go grab whatever you don't have and prep it now and you'll have it later for sure.
Right. Yeah. And you can still get it locally and all of that, you know, even if you don't have the space for a garden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think my main thing is always, and that's kind of what the concept of this cookbook I did with Angela, my friend Angela, was the thought of what can you eat that's seasonal? And if you're not growing food, that's okay. What's currently at your local farmer's market and using that each season? Because if you eat, you know, in line with the seasons and whatever's available, it'll probably be what's freshest and what's, you know, hasn't maybe traveled as far, you know, to get to you and has the most nutrients. So it's kind of fun. I think the older I've gotten, the more I've appreciated the change of seasons and how there's only certain things you can enjoy certain times of the year. And like, so you look forward to peaches, you know, you look forward to when peaches are ready, or, you know, you look forward. So it's kind of a cool cycle, you know, when it comes
and
to
I mean, you obviously, we can get anything year round, but like you, I prefer to cook with the seasons. Like you said, it gives you something to look forward to, something to shift in your kitchen. And then obviously it's healthier because you're getting something that's closer to home, closer to, you know, what your body's probably supposed to eat.
Sure. So. I know. And you know, those are the things, I guess when I was younger, I didn't focus on or really think about like, oh, if it's growing now, then it's probably the healthiest for me because it's like freshest right now versus, you know, another time. So yeah, that's been a fun thing just to look forward to certain things or certain dishes, you know, that you wouldn't have. Like lavender, even like when our lavender is growing, you know, I can make stuff with lavender in it versus, you know, fresh lavender is different than dried lavender. So.
Right. Yeah. I have a hard time growing lavender here. I don't know what it needs that we don't have, but I know some places it just takes off, but I can't seem to get it to do that here.
We're like in the middle. We're like where it does. Okay. It's not okay. Like, it's okay, but it's,
I know they do really well up in like Oregon and Washington.
Oh yeah. Well, everything does good up there. It's like magical soil up there.
Okay. Up there. Shoot. Do you incorporate a lot of winter squash, like acorn squash and butternut and pumpkin, or have any exciting different ways that you like to use those?
I mean, butternut. Yes, definitely. Well, soup, I mean, of course that's like a given, but I love when you, you know, cut them in half and roast them or do like stuffed butternut squash. Mm-hmm. And again, being vegetarian, you know, I try to use the whole vegetable, you know, or whatever we have. So a lot of those dishes are like really warm, especially when you stuff a butternut squash, or if you, I like it just roasted, like cut up in like a side dish, you know, like little big chunks, and you just roast it in the oven.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's good. And
I think that's
always good, you know,
just in a pasta yesterday, I roasted some butternut squash and got it, you know, nice and toasty and kind of caramelized. And
it's so good like that. I did a sauce with butternut squash where you blend it with some, you know, milk and butter and just do, it's like a creamy sauce, but it's with the squash, and that's delicious too. You know, just on pasta, but, pumpkin is I love pumpkin. Of course, I'm partial to the pumpkin desserts, but it's good. I've done a lot of actually, where I preserve pumpkin and done like pumpkin hummus. Which is something
I think I had a note of that to ask you about that.
Yeah, I do. Actually likes. It's easy. You just take, you could can your pumpkin or just take canned pumpkin. And so instead of using like hummus is usually a garbanzo base or something like that, you just take the pumpkin and you can blend it. You can still add your garbanzo like a protein, but it's really good. And it has more of a fall. You add like a little bit of fall things like cinnamon and nutmeg, but it's still like salty. It's not a sweet. And that's just good with fresh vegetables. And, you know, like, you know, you do a tray and you have, especially for if you're getting together or a large family, it's just fun. I like hummuses and dips. Those are fun. So you just want to sit.
I never thought about doing that. Do you still put the chickpeas in it or is it like
a little bit?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. It's
the recipe's on your blog, I believe, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I know. I was like, let me look up the measurements because off the top of my head.
What do they put in that?
You probably make so many recipes that in my head, I'm like, thankfully I write them down. I used to not write stuff down.
Oh, yeah, no. I get on my blog constantly to look at my recipes.
And I'm like, what did I say that includes? I'm glad I did this cookbook. I did because then it's a way to refer back to easily.
Right.
What did I put in that?
Nice.
You know, it's hard. My grandma, you know, never measured or, you know, she just would throw stuff in.
Yeah.
And I remember as a child, I'd be like, well, what did you put in there? How much? And she was like, oh, I don't know. You know,
I just whatever.
And so it's just when I started trying to cook, thinking like, okay, maybe somebody else wants to make this. I had to really force myself like how much am I adding? And wait, did I add something without writing it down? You know,
Is that hummus also in your cookbook on your
blog?
Hummus,
the pumpkin one is not. That one's on my blog. There's a different one on the cookbook, which that one is easy actually, because I'm actually just making it for this next weekend, but it's garbanzos. And then you take like sun-dried tomatoes and blend it with sun-dried tomatoes and green onions. And sun-dried tomatoes, something we preserve because I'll just dehydrate them in our dehydrator. So can have sun-dried tomatoes throughout the year from, you know, from the tomatoes we grew. So that's a fun thing too.
Yeah. I'm curious, what else do you put in your stuffed butternut squash?
So I do it. There's one in the recipe book that my friend Angela does. And her recipe is really good. She's got some good stuff there. When I've done it, I do like a lentil based.
Okay.
So you do like lentils where they're not like a soup texture, where you cook them and they're just barely cooked, but they're like more dry. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like a separated bean, not like a soup. And so then I'll do that with onions that are really cooked down, almost like a caramelized onion, and peppers and chopped tomatoes, that kind of thing, all cooked down. And then with fall spices. And then those go all inside the squash and then you cook it all.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I actually had Angela on, when did I have her? She was on the podcast too. I can't remember exactly when it was.
Yeah.
It might've been more in the winter as well.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun to do recipes, share recipes, you know, cause sometimes somebody might do something that you've never thought of or, you know,
all
even if you have the same ingredients, you know, we have the same ingredients and do it totally different. So I do a lot with beans, just cause I grew up, my parents are from Cuba. So I grew up a lot on like rice and beans and that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
So a lot of times for me, like for protein and things like that, I do a lot of stuff with beans. So legumes, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So do you have any other like secret weapon ingredients? You already mentioned several. You already mentioned cabbage and spinach and beans, which are all things that I really honestly don't think to incorporate that much, but is there any like spice that you always use or something that maybe like other people aren't thinking about?
I mean, this probably doesn't sound enlightening at all, but one thing I do try to do, so I won't say a specific one, but I try to always put in a fresh herb.
Okay. Yeah.
So I feel like that always takes it. So if it's in the fall, I'll still grow basil. That's considered more of a summer thing, but I'll still grow basil in the greenhouse. But if it's fall, to me, rosemary is like, a big thing.
Oh yes.
And sage. Thyme, sage, all that. They're super strong, but I feel like if you just do like a little bit, even like a fresh soup, you just have like a tiny bit of thyme or something, just fresh, just on top. Or if you make any, I just feel like it makes something taste so much, I don't know, it elevates it, makes it better than if you did it in the dried form.
Oh
so,
yeah.
So to me, totally that's always like,
same.
Yeah. Like if you can just add like a fresh, just throw a little something in there to, what you're making. I think it really makes it better.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Herbs, or makes it look like I tried. Like I tried harder.
Well, yeah, like a fancy restaurant will always have, something like something fresh.
Yeah. Like even if you just grow, and that's something that's easy because you can really just grow those like inside little herbs, like a little herb potted, thing. And I think that makes it it gives it that extra touch, I think.
And that's what I love so much about cooking from May through October. I have never really like ventured into growing a whole bunch of herbs inside, and then we don't have a greenhouse yet. But I really like the idea because it just is what makes all of summer so delicious is herbs.
Yeah. It's the freshness of having something. And things like rosemary will last a long time in a pot. Like that grows pretty good in a pot because it's more of that, like, it's more like a pine type herb. Yes. It's not like a leaf. It's not like basil can get wilty and just all that stuff.
But
rosemary can hang around pretty good. So that's a good one. Because you can do that, like just to make like even potatoes, like potatoes with fresh rosemary roasted is super delicious.
Someone told me on my channel that I should dig all my rosemary up and bring it inside. And I had never thought of that. Like, because my sage overwinters here.
Oh yeah. Here. Yes.
Yes.
It just goes strong.
Cause we had a really bad winter. Not really. It was good most of the time, but then we had like 2 weeks of zero here.
Yeah.
And so everything should have been wiped out, but that sage just came right back, but the rosemary didn't. And so I think that I should try that.
Yeah. Just try to put it in a big pot, like inside by the door or something, where you feel like it gets good amount, of light, and hopefully it would do pretty good. It's funny how sage, you're right. Like that does not die. It keeps, it goes strong.
I didn't
strong.
See it all winter necessarily, but then in the spring there it was again. I'm like, oh, yeah. Sage comes back. That's wonderful. And I love it because it comes back more abundantly. And
oh yeah, for sure.
I think it's probably my favorite herb. I love basil too.
I'm partial to, I think that's my favorite, but it is definitely a more summer, but still, fall and winter and stuff with pasta and things like that. It's so good to have, like on hand if you have it,
Right.
I do like cumin a lot. Do you cook with a lot of cumin? Oh.
I go through phases, but yes, and it does lend itself to fall.
Yeah. And I feel like that for me is this time of year, cumin has a nice, just adds a little something extra. And I probably that and smoked paprika is my.
Okay. I don't use that very much.
Okay. That's my favorite. That's probably my favorite this time of year. And I think because it gives that warm, like smoked flavor. So, like from a vegetarian standpoint, if you like I like barbecue sauce, I like things that have that. So it just for soups and things like that, it's really gives it a nice extra.
Yeah.
Element.
So are most of your soups a bean based soup?
No, it just depends. Some are just if it's the main thing we're eating, like for just for it to be like hearty and filling, it would be. But if not, I love potato. Like I'll do, you know, just a potato soup or like the butternut squash or, you know, those kind of pumpkin. Mm. A lot of those don't have beans in them.
Right.
You know, chili, we'll make different kinds of a chili. Of course those have some beans, but
yeah,
you know,
do you usually serve them all with some kind of bread or what's your go-to on that?
I like, I know well. Jared is gluten-free, which makes it tricky. So cornbread.
Okay.
Yeah. Is a good, I'm really trying. I know a lot of people, I know, of course you make sourdough, you know, you make things all the time. I've not branched out into trying a gluten-free, I know people that do sourdough, you know, starter and kind of do all that. So I'm hoping I can try that this
yeah.
winter and see.
I would suggest if you do try like I know you're probably way more familiar with gluten-free baking because your husband's gluten-free, but I tried, what I do? I did buckwheat flour and it made a nice starter. But we never liked the flavor and I couldn't get a bread that I liked. And so I don't know, like maybe the 1-for-1 gluten-free flour mix would be a better idea.
I've pretty much resorted with the baking I do to a 1-to-1.
Okay.
Because yes, you're right. Some of the ones are very strong, like a weird.
Yeah, it was not.
It just wasn't is. Good. I know, it's so
I was really experimenting because I was trying to get something up on the blog because people are always asking me about gluten-free. And I was like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. And I just threw in the towel. I was like, somebody else can try to figure this out.
I know. Well, I'm not going to tell anyone till I figure out something I think works. But, you know, for here at home, like to make, like I'll do waffles and pancakes and all that does very well and is delicious. It's just actual bread that,
I did okay with the waffles and stuff. It was great. It was when I tried to make a loaf of bread and I'm like, I just don't have the right expectations, but this is not.
Yeah, it's not. And even buying gluten-free bread, like at the store, it's still not, it's very hard. It's very hard to find something that's
It's just not bread.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, my husband's fine with it. He's not, you know, but I still would like to figure out something that's a little more, you know, exciting, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I understand. You
know? So I don't know.
I saw on your blog you have this pumpkin crisp that sounded have you made that yet this year?
No, I've not. And I want to soon. And that's easy. And I've started making that in a cast iron. I know you use your cast iron all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel like the more I've done things and cooked, I feel like it's so easy. So that for me is just great. Cause you just do like your, you know, canned pumpkin and your mix and your crumble and put it in the oven and you don't even have to switch containers. You know what I mean? Like you don't switch.
Right. Yeah.
Less it's like to a wash.
One dish.
Yeah. So I love, I've kind of pumpkin crisp is a favorite. And then I started doing, I have done apple crisp because apples are in season now.
Right.
We have apples in our orchard. So I have done that and that's been really good.
How many years have you guys been on your, property?
We've been here 5 and this is our first full apple harvest.
Okay. I was wondering because we planted
very excited
just a year ago, but we did plant relatively bigger trees.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, I don't want to wait that long. I'll buy like an extra year for the extra $30 or whatever.
I agree. Well, we did the same, but my husband had done a lot of like research on tree planting and all this and that how, you should like, or at least this is what he researched that you should pluck the blooms off the first few years so that it really gives the root the energy to like for the so the trees don't put their energy into the produce into the root system. Well, no, but so we kind of on purpose didn't let them
do that.
You know, yield for a few years.
Yeah.
More than what we would have liked. But we did have a ton of apples. So I think I think it worked. I don't know. They're great trees. They're big. They're healthy. So, yeah. So I don't know.
Cool.
We'll see. But I was so excited for apples because that's just like we eat apples every day. So
yeah. Are you going to do a lot of preserving or what are you going to?
I've done like the apple, you know, like for pie, like just slices. I did quite a bit of, not quite a bit, but some applesauce and apple butter. And my hope is to finish off more applesauce because we eat a lot of that. That's a big, and you know, Ava, she likes applesauce and it's nice to have your own applesauce. It's like, oh, this is fun, you know, and it wasn't too hard. Yeah. Applesauce is not hard. I didn't find it hard to make, you know, compared to other stuff to can.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It wasn't
too bad.
You'll
be able to put up a lot of that. I hope we have apples in a few years. We have one tree that has, you know, quite a few small ones, but nothing. Yeah.
It'll happen.
Too exciting.
It'll happen. I was worried. And then this year we were like, okay. And I kept reading like, yeah, once they're established for, you know, a good 3-4 years, they'll take off. So we'll see. Yeah.
So any other like cozy fall dishes that are notable that you can say, I like to get like a big pot of soup, double or triple it, and just like leave it on the stove all day. And we just eat from it all day. That's one thing I love about fall.
I love that. I've done this version of a pot pie, that I really like because that feels really fall to me. And because Jared is gluten-free, I don't do the traditional pot pie where it's, you know, the pie and then the stuff on top. What I've done is I'll take whatever is seasonal in terms of like a fresh something. So this time of year, you know, we would do like the carrots. I would even do a little bit of cabbage. You can do the peas, you know, like what we traditionally would do, but include normal. And then I'll do that on a cast iron with, you know, you make your mixture and then you just do biscuits on top and just then cook it with biscuit. That. Yeah. And so then that way you can have, it's like your really warm and delicious, like creamy vegetables. And then you eat it like sopped onto, you know, like a biscuit. And then that is like a really fun, I don't know, cozy, you know, where you're just thinking like, oh, yay, I'm excited
I know.
To eat, you know?
Yeah. Luke, we actually had pot pie the other day and Luke was like, this is probably the most wholesome food or something like that. Like it just, you know, it's just so.
Like you just wholesome. Start like, yeah, I know. And I love it though, cause it's so good. And like, you know, you want a crust, but then you want to, I don't know, the vegetable. And then I make mine with like a coconut milk base. Okay. And you season it, but it still ends up that same idea, like creamy, you know, like just the stuff on the inside. And, it's just easier to make all, and then just put the biscuits and cook the biscuits on top instead of having to make, you know, a crust and all that. So it's kind of a cheating way to do it.
Oh yeah. No, that's how I normally do pot pie too.
Quote unquote.
But I sometimes make it with a pie crust, but a lot of times I just do
on top. Yeah.
Biscuits. And then like the other day I was making a shepherd's pie.
Oh yeah.
With mashed potatoes on top. And I normally use, you know, carrots and potatoes and all of those regular vegetables. And I got to the fridge and I was like, oh, I have nothing, but I do have some butternut squash because I bought this massive box for $10 the other day.
Oh yeah.
And so I've been putting it in everything. And so I just diced it like a carrot, you know, and can't tell. And so I was thinking too, with pot pie, you know, you could really incorporate
anything
like butternut squash or pumpkin or whatever. Oh, yeah. Into all of that.
Yeah. I like, if you think of it, like just doing it like with whatever's in season, you can do a version of it any season. I've even done, which sounds kind of like weird probably, but you can do, like you can put roasted beets, like you can do beets in there, you know, just anything that, not the traditional, just, you know, carrot, celery, you know, potato, you can put, there's definitely other things you can put in there.
Yeah. Well, I feel like once you add your cream element and any kind of broth that you'll use and the pepper,
Yeah.
Almost any vegetable.
Right.
Will
I agree.
Sort of take on the flavor. Yeah. And so I like that idea too, like you said, with beets, because beets is another vegetable I just don't put in things, but I could make all the same things and just throw beets in it. And I don't really feel like it would taste.
Yeah. And for a soup. Yeah. And for a soup too. Like that's another one you can throw beets. And beets are good because beets grow pretty quick too. Like beets are ready in less than 2 months, like right at 2 months. And so they're one that grow pretty quick. And I think one that's really underrated is radishes.
Yeah. That's something I eat in early spring only. We actually did just plant some again.
Yeah. Fall is great because they grow fast. I would roast them. They are delicious. They takes away that bitter, you just roast them with like olive oil, salt and pepper and put them in the oven and they turn soft and I think they're really delicious and just totally different. I think people usually just do, you think of a radish like on a salad or, you know, like a raw and it's a pretty strong, you know, it's a strong flavor. Like it's an acquired, I think fall is definitely this time of year is it's a fun time for meals because you kind of have some things from summer still, and you're starting to have some of your fall. And then of course it gets to where there's like time of year where you're inside more, you know, you kind of want to be around the kitchen more, you're cooking more as a family.
Yeah,
so it's just
exactly.
a great, it's a good time, you know, it's a good time.
Yeah. I, like you said, I like to be in the kitchen more in the fall. I think that's why it's also fun because I'll put more effort into food because in the summer we're outside, we're gardening, we are going swimming, we're just, you know, it's summer.
Sure.
But then when you're stuck inside, it's just a nice creative thing to do is to be in the kitchen, experiment, and make something cozy. So.
Yeah. It's what fall's about, that's for sure.
I agree. I know. I made some cinnamon rolls this morning, my sourdough cinnamon rolls, but I added pumpkin to the filling and the dough. And I'm like,
oh, love that. Oh,
it's not really time.
That.
Like it's still kind of hot outside.
I know.
But I'm just kind of ready for it.
Like ready. I know I'm ready. The weather is not telling me, but I am ready. I was actually looking through some of my recipes the other day and I saw it was, like pumpkin pie, pancakes. So it's like, you know, pancakes, but they kind of taste like pumpkin pie because you got pumpkin and the spices. And I was like, oh, maybe I need to make those.
Ooh, yeah.
Sooner,
I kind of
you know,
forgot about
sooner
those.
Sooner than later, you know?
Ugh. Yeah, I used to do that and I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
So that's a really good way. If you go, I'll go to like a vegetable stand or farmer's market or whatever, get a bunch of pumpkins, you know, cook them down, puree them, freeze it. And then you have that puree.
It's ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
all year.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, see, I'm hungry now. Just thinking of all.
I know. I have still lunch all kind of, I got to clean up, but yeah, I can still snack on my fall foods. So tell us where we can find your book. I know.
Yeah.
Probably just through your Instagram.
Yeah. So I did a cookbook. It's called The Harvest Table. And it's all seasonal plant-based recipes. And I did it with my friend, Angela. She is from Axe and Root Homestead. So we kind of collaborated. We're both plant-based. And the thought is like all foods that you can make with seasonal things. So, and if you eat meat or you're not plant-based, they're pretty easy recipes where you can plug in your own like protein or adapt it to how you eat. Our goal was just to tell people ways you can eat with fresh seasonal things. So
the
book's on Amazon. So you can just look for it on Amazon.
Harvest Table.
Yeah. The Harvest Table cookbook.
Yeah. It's very beautiful. The photos.
Thank you. We took our own pictures and it was kind of a year and a half in the making and a labor of love.
I'm sure.
It's been fun. You know, it's fun to like, I don't know. A lot of times people ask like, well, what do you eat or how do you, you know? And so we wanted to do that. And then it has a lot of, each recipe has like a little homesteading tip. So that pertains to something in the recipe. So it's just to give little extra tidbits of like gardening knowledge or ways to preserve things. To hopefully give people more, ideas, you know, of how to do that. if they're wanting to. So it's cool. It's been really fun. So
now I know Angela does a lot of sourdough. Did she bring any sourdough recipes?
She has some recipes that include things where you could, but we try to keep it pretty easy. So yeah. It's not, you know, like,
yeah,
where,
if you don't have a starter, you can't really.
Right. Do it. Yeah. Yeah. So she does sourdough, which is wonderful. I'm hoping I'm going to branch out. I've done regular, but I haven't done it a lot because my husband doesn't eat it.
So right.
It would be bad if I just had all this bread to eat all the time myself. I'm like, there's not enough of us for me to bake myself bread all the time, you know, but yeah, they can just search for the cookbook. And then on my blog, I try to, it's hard with doing the cookbook, it's slowed down, but I try to usually do weekly recipes, and either in my newsletter, there's always a recipe, or I'll also put it on the blog, but it's just a nice way for people to, and it's always something I'm doing pretty much that week. So like that seasonal or that I'm making,
right,
so that it's, you know, relevant, I guess.
Current. Yeah. The time. So that's azurefarmlife.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Azure Farm.
Awesome.
It's Thank so you fun. So and much. And I've always I've gotten so much inspiration from your recipes and your things. So I love all you do. And I know it's a lot of work. So thank you for
thank you.
All that you do offer.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. I'm always cooking in this kitchen. Yeah. So
yeah, I love it. I think it's wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening or watching this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Make sure to go check out Annette and her cookbook. I hope that we gave you some ideas for fall, maybe some things you've never thought to use regularly in your kitchen. I know that is what I love talking to other people who do a lot of cooking, because I get ideas on things that I wouldn't normally think to even incorporate at all. Vegetables I wouldn't think to use, spices. And so I love getting that other perspective. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.